iBridge Audio presents You Are Not Forgotten, the story of a lost World War II pilot and a 21st century soldier's mission to bring him home, by Brian Bender. Read by Johnny Heller. Original material, copyright 2013, Brian Bender. Recorded by arrangement with Doubleday, a member of the Knopf Doubleday Publishing Group, a division of Random House Incorporated. Recording copyright 2013, Highbridge Company. It is not the oath that makes us believe the man, but the man the oath. Aeschylus. High on a slope in New Guinea, the Grumman Hellcat lodges among bright vines, as thick as arms. In 1943, the clenched hand of a pilot glided it here, where no one has ever been. In the cockpit, the helmeted skeleton sits upright, held by dry sinews at neck and shoulder, and webbing that straps the pelvic cross to the cracked leather of the seat, and the breastbone to the canvas cover of the parachute. Or say that the shrapnel missed him. He flew back to the carrier, and every morning takes the train, his pale hands on his black case, and sits upright, held by the firm webbing. Donald Hall, the man in the dead machine. Prologue. On an autumn afternoon in 2009, two old friends, both approaching 90, stood a little taller than usual beneath the glass-paned spire of the National Museum of the Marine Corps. Richard Cosmo Marsh and Eugene Vic Smith slowly lifted their eyes toward one of the restored fighter planes hanging from the ceiling. It was a Corsair, just like the ones they had flown in the South Pacific. Both men were now frail, after lifetimes of living, loving, working, and raising large families. But they still burned with the inner fire sparked more than six decades earlier, while fending off swarms of Japanese Zeros in a hailstorm of burning metal and lead. The pair of flyers, two of just six surviving members of the 40 Hell's Angels who set sail for war in September 1943, made this pilgrimage to the gleaming new museum in Quantico, Virginia, to complete one final mission. Cosmo, who had left Yale University to join the Marine Corps after Pearl Harbor, had earned his nickname for his cosmopolitan background. Nearly as wispy as he had been as a 22-year-old lieutenant, he still worked part-time in the Washington, D.C. law firm he co-founded after the war, and where he had penned the squadron's newsletter, kept up the Christmas card list, and planned the reunions, the last one held in California in 2000. On one wall in front of his desk hung a nearly life-size black-and-white photograph of the Hell's Angels, taken in the Solomon Islands in December 1943. All of them young and vigorous and looking invincible as they prepare to enter the jaws of the enemy. His companion, Vic Smith, was still the perennially grinning Ohio farm boy who signed up for flight training as a student at Ohio State in the aftermath of the surprise Japanese attack. Though his once-taut muscles had atrophied, he still exuded the pep and wide-eyed exuberance that had made him a squadron favorite. Smitty, as many people called him, had flown home after the war in a Stearman biplane, landing on a grass field near his rural boyhood home, where he still lived, and helped run his machinery and warehousing business. That is, when he wasn't traveling to San Diego to visit his grandkids and sail in his beloved schooner. Back in 1987, Vic and his wife had sailed across the South Pacific, returning to the scene of some of those ferocious battles. Vic and Cosmo had cemented an especially strong bond when they seemed destined to die at Rabaul like so many of their comrades. But their fates intertwined to save them both. By late January 1944, the Hell's Angels had already suffered many losses. They'd been assigned another mission to escort B-25s on a bombing run over the Japanese stronghold on the tip of New Britain Island, when Vic's Corsair was hit by debris from a nearby Allied plane that was riddled with anti-aircraft fire. He had a ditch in the dreaded channel, and none of his fellow pilots saw where he went down.